Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran. My guest is Dr. Paul Sundberg, the Executive Director of the Swine Health Information Center. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Sundberg.
Thanks for the opportunity, Bruce.
The Swine Health Information Center has issued its February update. First of all, in terms of global disease monitoring, what are the highlights and what should pork producers be aware of and keeping in mind on the global front?
On the global front, Bruce, we are continuing to watch ASF in China. The sources of information coming from China can be confusing. The official word from the government there is that the infections of ASF are under control. They have not reported new infections, I think maybe one, for quite a while. And they're starting to release herds and release areas from ASF quarantine. The unofficial reports coming from there is that the virus continues to circulate. It is woefully reported, and it's causing quite a production losses. So the international disease report, I mean, the part about ASF is that I think we can continue to expect that China is going to be affected. And my opinion, we can expect that China can be considered to be endemic. And if that's the case, then our pressure of that virus getting into the U.S. or getting into North America continues, and I don't see that abating in any time in the near future. The other thing that is notable out of the disease report is that Japan has reported classical swine fever. It started in a prefecture in the middle of Japan and in commercial pigs, also found in feral pigs. And just in the last few weeks, we've learned that it has spread from that nidus, that the original infection, it's spread to multiple prefectures now in Japan. So the middle of the country is pretty much all reported in CSF. So that's on its move there. Finally, the UK has come out with a qualitative risk assessment for introduction of African swine fever into the UK from the rest of the EU. They didn't take a look at risk coming from China or other areas of the world, but their trade and their movement and their people going back and forth between Great Britain and the EU was the focus of this. And that's of interest. They upgraded their qualitative risk assessment to say that there is moderate risk of importing ASF into the UK because of certain contacts that they have with the rest of the EU. So those are all things that we are looking at, we're monitoring, and I think deserve attention.
What is happening domestically, and what should be top of mind at this point, and why?
Well, I think with the domestic report, of course, everyone is interested in PRRS and what we're seeing in PRRS, especially this time of year, and how things are happening. Just as a little background, remember, we used the domestic report from data analysis from the University of Minnesota, Iowa State, South Dakota State, and Kansas State Veterinary Diagnostic Labs. So they report, we query their information, and then we do an analysis and ask an advisory council to give us their analysis of the information. From that, in January of 2019, the level of PRRS detection by PCR is within the expected range. There have been positive results in sow farms, but they've been relatively stable since late 2018. And the RFLP, the sequence 174, was the most frequently detected sequence in January of 2019. So we're doing that deep analysis and letting people know what they can expect and what we're seeing around the country with PRRS and other things through domestic disease monitoring. In 2019, we're looking to improve this reporting and try to give people more of a regional or more of a local look at things that are happening. Right now, this reporting is based on the veterinary diagnostic lab information that comes from all over the country. But in 2019, we're going to try to pick it apart more and see if we can give some more regional or some more local information so people can have some information about what's happening around them.
Schick-sponsored research has been looking for cost-effective ways to mitigate potential risks from feed transmission. What do we know now about the potential for pathogens to move in feed? What pathogens pose the greatest risk, and what feeds or feed ingredients are of greatest concern?
Well, let's start with what pathogens pose the greatest risk. And of course, the greatest risk to the North American pork industry is the importation of any of the foreign animal diseases. And the big three, of course, are foot and mouth disease, African swine fever, and classical swine fever. If we would get any of those, our markets would our international markets would automatically be affected, and that will affect the industry and pork producers directly. And so that's our biggest risk, of course. What we know about that risk is that at least there is a model for the potential for the importation of those viruses through feed and feed components. We've done that research and shown that it is theoretically possible for those viruses to survive the conditions under which they would be subjected while they come across the water and being imported into North America. That's an important piece of information. What we don't know, though, is we don't know yet the actual risk to that happening, because there are a lot of steps that has to go through. Not only does it have to survive coming across the water and being imported, but it also has to get to pigs, and it has to infect pigs. And those are yet unknowns. We're doing some research with Kansas State University in looking at oral dose of African swine fever and the ability of that virus to infect pigs orally, so we could show that that might happen. We're doing the same thing on Plum Island with USDA ARS with FMD to show the oral dose of FMD should that happen. In between, we also, in 2019, and this is urgent, the research is going to go on, we're going to look at ways to get data about the other pieces of that custody chain. If that virus or those viruses could be imported through feed, they have to get to the pigs. And we're going to be looking at ways to demonstrate the transmission of viruses from feed to pigs through that chain. Not ASF, FMD, and CSF, but we're looking at some other viruses that we could use as models to show that that chain could be open. That's ongoing research, and I don't know the outcome of that yet. Hopefully, truthfully and hopefully, that won't show that that chain is open. I would very much welcome that. But we need to know if it is, and that's what we're going to be working on in 2019.
How have levels of concern related to the potential movements of pathogen in feed changed, and why?
Well, I think the initial research that was communicated about the ability to be transported through feed ingredients has been an important piece. It has gotten a lot of attention. The next piece of that was going into this mitigation research, which includes adding mitigants, potential mitigants to feed to see if we can reduce or eliminate the viral load. But one very important part of this has also been to look at the half-life or the survivability of these viruses through feed or feed components. As a virus goes through time within feed or feed components, it naturally degrades or inactivates. And so what we've tried to do is measure how quickly that happens under different conditions. And that's called the half-life of the virus. And in that measurement, that's led to holding times that would decrease the viral load, And those recommendations can be found on, or the reports from that research can be found on swinehealth.org. And I think those are all important pieces to know as far as mitigation goes, as far as reducing risk. And the last thing that I'd say is that if producers and their veterinarians want to ensure that that risk is as low as possible, that they need to talk with their feed supplier and find out if there are ways that they can get feed components that are sourced from areas of the world that do not have these viruses circulating in those areas, classical swine fever, African swine fever, and foot and mouth disease. If they can source feed from those areas that are free, that I think would be probably the most effective way to ensure feed safety.
And is there anything you would like to add?
I think one of the messages that that we need to keep in mind is to think globally and act locally. This whole issue about African swine fever and foot and mouth disease, classical swine fever, any of these diseases that are circulating around the world can be rather daunting. The question might become, for example, well, they're circulating in China and we don't want them, so I hope we don't get them. I don't know what I can do here. Think globally, but act locally. And that means that the most effective way that we can prevent introduction of any of these viruses into our pigs is to have effective biosecurity on the farm. That's general biosecurity of all of the types of diseases we have endemic here, of course, but it also includes questions about the sources of things coming onto the farm, including feed, including food products that the workers may bring onto the farm. It also includes international contacts that workers on the farms may have. All of those things have to be taken into account as you look at a biosecurity program that truly can think globally but really act locally every day.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for the opportunity, Bruce. It's good to talk to you.
Our guest has been Dr. Paul Sundberg, the Executive Director of the Swine Health Information Center. For Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochran. Thanks so much. And who might I talk to do a bit of an update on the new National Swine Disease Council?
Yeah, the point of that spear, Bruce, is Patrick Webb. You have at the Pork Board.
Okay.
Do you have his contact information?
I don't.
Okay. All right. I will send it to you. I'll send it to you by email. How would that be?
That's perfect. Thanks so much.
Yep. I will do that right now. Thanks for the call.
Bye for now.
All right. Bye, Bruce. Thanks.